I want to speak this evening on from 1 John on the theme of assurance. How can we know if we're a Christian this evening? How can we know that we are truly a child of God and a Christian believer? I hope that we all know that the real ground of our assurance is not to be found in ourselves, but in what we understand, what we know that God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the earth was created, the Bible teaches that God chose a people for himself and gave us to Christ to save us. We belong to him and to the Father, they are one, and we are held safe in that eternal, all-powerful double grip of the hand of Father and Son. And that should give us great comfort and should give us great joy this evening. And in 1 John there is another related aspect which may help to assure us of our salvation, and that's God's work by the Holy Spirit. 1 John seems to have been largely written in order to do this very thing, to assure us of our standing in Christ. In the midst of doubt and fears and pressure from outside the church, am I really God's? Am I really Christ's? And there are many arguments that he uses. But here, in running as a thread through it, is this work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian. And that's no small subject, of course, but we're just going to touch on it, really, this evening. And it may be that you've had the same experience that I had as a 18, 19-year-old when I first went away to college. My Christian friend and I were told categorically by another Christian student that the major proof of our salvation would be that the gifts of the Spirit would be clearly seen in us, particularly speaking in tongues, he mentioned, that would have to be exercised and that would have to be evident in our lives, and then we would know that God was at work in our hearts. It wasn't Pete, actually, that was with me or talking to me, but this was a year before I met Pete. But and this guy, he tried to convince us how we could do that. That it was just our inhibitions that were stopping us from speaking in tongues, and we should just let our tongue go into these babbling, incoherent sounds, and then if we spoke in tongues, then that would be the sign to us that we really were born again and we really were saved. Now, please don't fall off your chair when I say that. In one sense, he was right in this, that the Holy Spirit does indeed give us evidence of God's work within us that provides us with certainty that we are true believers. But we don't have to look for it in phenomena like speaking in tongues. And God wants us to be sure. God wants us to have assurance that we are his. And I think the whole Bible is very clear on this. So how is it that the Holy Spirit works this assurance within us? The Apostle John would point us throughout his letter to two particular works of the Holy Spirit, although there are others found in the rest of Scripture. It's a big topic, really. He will teach here, if you read through 1 John, that the Holy Spirit produces certain effects in the life of the true believer, particularly sanctification. But the other work of the Holy Spirit that he puts to us, that I want to focus on this evening, is that of the witness of the Holy Spirit. I want to explore that a few minutes this evening, I trust, to our prophet. The work of the Holy Spirit as witness. And there are two aspects of that witness that John reveals to us. Firstly, the Holy Spirit is a witness to us of the truth of the gospel. And we have that here in 1 John chapter 5 and verses 6 through to 9. 1 John 5, 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, testifies to the truth. We saw this morning, what the word testimony means. It's a word taken from the law courts. And as a witness in a court of law testifies to what they know, so does the Spirit of God testify to us. He witnesses to us, to the truth. He can't do anything less than testify to the truth, because as John tells us at the end of verse 6 there, he is truth, for he is God. Makes very clear in the next verse that here is the third person of the Godhead. We believe and worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as God, in general, if you like, triune God is truth, so of course the Holy Spirit is truth. But particularly he has this role of being the revealer of truth. Following his resurrection and his ascension into heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit into the world to reveal the truth to men and women, as he had promised to his disciples that he would do. Well, what truth would the Spirit reveal? Well, John's gospel is very helpful here, of course. And I want to just pick out three little sections from John's gospel. First of all, John chapter 14. You can turn to it if you like. I just want to read a few verses there. Let's try and put it together. What is it that the Spirit reveals? John chapter 14 and verse 26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you, says Jesus to his disciples. So he will teach us all things and bring to the disciples' memory the things that he had said, but also brings to our memory the things that we read in God's word. And then in the next chapter, chapter 15 of John, and verse 26, Christ tells us, but when the Helper, the Comforter — the word then, the original, is Parakletos, it's a name, the title given to the Holy Spirit — when the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, he says. So what will the Holy Spirit do? He's the Spirit of truth, that's emphasized again for us. And he will testify of Jesus. He will point men and women and boys and girls to Jesus. It'll all be about Christ. And then finally, the next chapter, chapter 16 of John, Christ, still speaking to his disciples, says, in verse 8 of John 16, when he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come against you, emphasizing that truth bringing, he will guide you into what? All truth. And verse 14, the next verse. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So if we put these things together, we see the Holy Spirit as a ministry or a role of witness and of revealing and of convicting and of teaching the truth. And all of that leading to and centered around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now be that as it may, for the person seeking or maybe lacking assurance, who is uncertain, who is in doubt about their true standing, that may not be very helpful, I don't know. You may well ask, well, what does that to do with me? How does that affect me? Well, John in his epistle takes this up, and he tells us that the true believer is one who has the Holy Spirit poured out on him by God, so that he knows the truth. If you turn back in 1 John, we're in 1 John, and in chapter 2 and verse 20 and 21. Let me read these words to you. But you, he says, have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from him, from God, abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has been taught you, you will abide in him. John loves to bring in so much of the picture language of the scriptures into his letters, and to explain to the Christian what has happened to him and to her, and he does it the same here. And the picture here would have been a very familiar one to his readers and his listeners in ancient times. Priests and kings and even prophets sometimes were anointed with oil. That means that this beautiful, perfumed, fine oil would be smeared or poured onto the head of the king, the priest, the prophet. It marked the beginning of their official duties. It symbolized consecration. You have been set apart to office as the servant of God. But oil, an anointing in Scripture, is also symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And Joel's Old Testament prophecy speaks of the coming of the Holy Spirit as a pouring out. Says God, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then the Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, publicly declared to the people of Jerusalem that what they were witnessing all around them, as people are turning to Christ in faith and being converted, is the fulfillment of that promise. God pouring out his spirit, anointing his people, pouring it out on them. We don't need literal, physical oil. It's a symbolic thing of God's work by the Holy Spirit on us, pouring it out on us. And in no small measure, not a drop, but a pouring out on us. And John here in his letter is telling his readers who lack assurance and whose grasp of the truth is under threat by opposition. He's saying to them, look, you know the truth. You've been convicted of the truth. You know the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't a lie. You know it. You believe it. And how do you know it? Because Christ, the Holy One,